What do you think looking at this, Mrs. Range?
Yes, it is really something to behold. It really brings back memories of 80 years ago.
Yeah, and I've seen the photos that y'all have, the great black and white photos from the 50s, and
That's right.
Just like it.
Yes, it certainly does. And when we get this hooked up and on the tracks, it'll really be something.
Tell me what's going to be happening on Saturday.
Well, on Saturday, the main event is going to be the unveiling of the train. This train represents the first train that was ever here on Virginia Key Beach. We found one in California. It's an exact replica of the one that was here then. And that's going to be the main event.
Give me a little background. Tell me about the history here at Virginia Key Beach.
Well, the history of Virginia Key Beach goes much farther back than the history books will reveal right now. You see, I remembered Virginia Key Beach in the early 30s. History records it as having been actually given over in 1945. This is when there was some discussion as to blacks being pushed away from other beaches, and there was actually nowhere to go. And there were people in the community. We have a member of our board, Mrs. Eugenia Thomas, whose husband, the late Judge Thomas, was very, very instrumental in seeing to it that we got a beach, even though it was segregated. Segregation was at its height during those days. And it was in 1945 that the county commission decided to give Virginia Key Beach over for colored people. This is why there has been such a time as far as entrepreneurs coming through and wanting to purchase this property. You see, there was a clause put in it that this property was to be given over for, they called us Negroes at that time, was to be given over for the Negro populace, and that there was not to be any sale of the property or any lease of the property to put permanent buildings over here. It was for the enjoyment of the colored people at that time. Well, as time went on, the city of Miami sustained the beach for a while, but because of conditions which existed, we eventually went down and the city no longer kept the beach up. As time continued to go on, entrepreneurs came through with bright ideas of having a very exclusive beach over here for people that certainly would not have included people of my color. Consequently, nothing was ever done. And it was through Gene Tinney is presently our
Vice chair.
I'm chair and Gene is vice chair. Gene was always a person who was interested in waterfront conditions and what was going on in Miami. And he just happened to have been in a meeting where the waterfront board was planning to make a pitch at the city commission to purchase this property in order that they could come in with something that was more beneficial to the city at that time. Gene tells me that he, at that particular time, he knew of no one who could probably give him the necessary information that he needed to fight this, and so he came to see me, and he invited me to go to the meeting with them and with him. And we went to this meeting, and I was given the privilege of explaining what the situation was with Virginia Key Beach. And it was through this effort that Arthur Teal, who was on the commission at the time, the Honorable Arthur Teal brought up a resolution that saved us from being subjected to probably pushed in a corner, being pushed in a corner, and the property being sold from under us. As a result of it, some of the most outstanding citizens in Miami of a great seniority and age were brought together. And these were people, Eugenia Thomas, who's the widow of Judge Thomas, who I spoke to earlier, Mrs. Pinckney, who has been a stalwart in this community. Garth Reeves was at one time on our board, Jean Tinney. These, and there are several others whose names I don't recall at the moment, but these are people who have stood together for going into 4 years now, who fought this battle, and who at this point we feel some semblance of success in that we did not turn loose. We've had many uphill battles trying to maintain Virginia Key Beach. But as you can see it today, it is really moving along. You see the parking lot that's being rejuvenated out there. You see this building that will become a permanent part of the beach and used for something. We are great ambition is to have a museum that will tell the true story of Virginia Key Beach.
And how significant is this, the unveiling of the train to this process?
Well, I think that is very significant because that was one of the first items that I don't know where the money came from in the early 50s to get that train. But that train was given, and it was given as an appeasement along with the carousel. Those were things that were commonplace on other beaches, such as Crandon. And, of course, in those days, we were not allowed to go to Crandon. So rather than have us pushing in on somebody else's property, they found a train somewhere, and they found a carousel, and they brought it to Virginia Key Beach, all to appease the black citizenry, who they realized were taxpayers just like everybody else in this community, and we deserved every bit of the entertainment and anything else that they might have had. So that is the significance of bringing back, letting people know that we did not just set aside and be pushed around, that we demanded and got many of the things that we felt were rightfully ours.
And I know the carousel building is out there. You had shown me around there
yes.
couple of years ago.
Yes, the carousel building is there. And I don't know whether they have located the horses yet, but we plan to have the carousel up and moving so the children of this generation, you see there are children of this generation who've never seen a beach, who've never seen a beach. The youngsters in Liberty City who do not know what it means to see the waves other than on television. And we feel that they are deserving of having some entertainment, just like all other youngsters whose parents struggle and pay taxes to keep this great city going.
And how much more work, how much longer until the park itself will be able to open?
We hope, it is our sincere hope, that the park will be usable come next summer, that is early 1907. And then we trust by, yes, not 1907. Let's not go back there. 2007. But then we hope within a very short period of time following that, we now have the GOPs or whatever you call that you put out for buildings. We have that out for the building of the museum. And as soon as those conditions are worked out, you'll see work beginning on the museum. As you leave here, you'll see that the parking lot, which at one time held 600 cars, that's how much the people appreciated, even though we had to come from as far as Liberty City and Opa-locka to get here, when they could very easily have given us a space on Biscayne Boulevard, which would have been much, much closer to us. But we suffered the inconvenience of coming all the way several miles to Virginia Key Beach. And they gave it to us. They gave it to us with these conditions that I mentioned to you, that it could never be sold for anything other than our enjoyment. So this is why we're hanging on to it, because they can't take it away.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of developers are salivating over the thoughts of putting condos here.
Yes, oh yes, there's no doubt about that. Yes, these are two of our board members here. I don't know whether they want to.
You've given an excellent story.
Thank you, dear.
All right. But I'll do the
repetitions. I guess finally, for young people who don't know what segregation is like, and it seems, you know, the distant history to them might as well be the Roman Empire as far as some kids are concerned. What do you hope that they take away from this park?
Well, I hope that they take away the fact that people can live together, and that there's no such thing as separating the races to keep the peace, because in country, we're looking at countries today where they're all of the same ilk and they can't get along together, you know. And we here in America, there's just a mixture of every kind of human being there is, and we manage to get along without the problems that they're having in the Far East and everywhere else today. So we're grateful for that, and we hope that as the younger generation come along, that they will understand that there is no such thing as not being able to live under the same sun and under the same God.
And it is amazing to think, I mean, Miami is such a culturally diverse place now,
right,
to think that this was once a segregated part of the Deep South.
That's right, part of the Deep South, very segregated. Everybody knew his place and stayed in his place, for that matter. We knew the days when we were not welcomed across the south area of Northwest 5th Street or Northwest 7th Avenue or Northwest 1st Avenue. We knew that that small area that had been cut out between 5th Street and 1st Avenue and 7th Avenue and 21st Street were areas that were set aside for us, and we dared not go on the other fellow's property.